started. So today we have the wonderful zchus of starting to learn Simen Kuf Chaf, the Dinei Tevilas Kelim, Simen Kuf Chaf. So when we do Hechsher Kelim, we're going to have to really jump around a little bit. We're going to have to bring a companion sefer with us, Mishnah Berurah Chelakei, because you have to learn from most of Hilchos Hechsher Kelim and really Hilchos Pesach. But at least for a little while, we'll be in Tevilas Kelim. So it's all here in Yerodeh Simen Kuf Chaf. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dafayin Heim and Beis, Mishnah Avodah Zarah, Alokeh Klei Tashmish from Novid Kachavim. Person purchases Klei Tashmish from Novid Kachavim, Es Shedarko Lahatvil Yatvil, which is an unusual phrase, but it tells us that you're supposed to tovel those things that you're supposed to tovel, and Mahagil Yagil, and you're supposed to kasher that which you have to kasher through Agala, Lulabin Ba'or Yulabin Ba'or, and that which needs Libun, you got to do Libun, and it goes through Hashvud, Va'askel, Malabin Ba'or, those things that are used as barbecuing utensils. You need libun, hasakin, shavavi, tahora. A knife is easy, you just scrub it. And then the Gemara says, Tana v'kulan tzrichin tefillin barbamsa. Even though we said that that there are all these different forms of kashering, whatever kashering you're going to do when you got something from Novid Kachavim, you're going to need to do tevila, and the tevila is going to be barbamsa. It's going to have to be in a full mikvah. So it says, Marvinani mili, where do we see that there's such a din called tevilas kelim? Amar Rava Domer Kra called Davar Asher Yavo Beish Tavir Beish V'Taher Hosuf Cha Kasuf Tara Cheres, that the Gemara learns from the Pesukim in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Aleph, from the actual word V'Taher, that kelim that are brought, that are purchased from non-Jews and are used in the process of consuming food, require tevil in the mikvah. From V'Taher, it tells me that it requires tevil in the mikvah. Gemara goes on to say Maskefla Rav Sheishas Ihachi Afilu Zuzu Desar V'Lanami. Why, when I buy, any other kli, I buy a table, I buy a chair, I buy a pair of scissors, I buy a television, why then would I not have to be tovel those things, right? I mean, that it's only a fork and a knife and a pot and things of that nature. Samalei, klei suda amur b'parsha, because the pasuk says klei suda. Klei suda is what the parsha is talking about when it talks about klei midyan. How do I know it's only talking about klei suda? Because it's talking about Hagalas Kelim. The parsha is about kashering Kelim. Kashering Kelim we obviously only do on Klei Suda. So Mele Tvilas Kelim is also, when it says Vitaher on the tail end of that pasuk, so it's telling me that the same types of Kelim that require Hagala also require Tvila. Amr Rav Nachman Amr Rav Barbul Ashanu Ela Belukuchin Ukemaisa Shahaya Aval Shu'ulin Lo. If you borrow a Kli from a guy, it does not require Tvila. The Chziv called Davar Shayavu Ba'esh. Rashi writes, "Chsiv kol davar sheyov beish vein derech l'shtam yishal yidei or ele kelim shel tzor chesuda ubanu chsiv v'teher tzvila v'zud tzar v'lolov." Right? Rashi explains that the reason you don't have to tovel other kelim is because it's describing hagalas kelim over here, and obviously you only do hagala and klei suda, mainly only do tzvila and klei suda. Good. So that's the din of tzvilas kelim. The Gemara points to a pasuk. It points to the parsha of Klei Midyan, and from there we derive the din of Tevilas Kelim. The question is, a couple of questions. First of all, why? What is Tevila supposed to accomplish? Meaning, Hagala, I get. I understand what Hagala is all about. It's intuitive what Hagala is all about. That there are blios. We've been learning about blios all year long. So yes, there are blios of non-kosher in the Kli, and I need to remove those blios if I want to use the Kli, otherwise it's going to trafe up all my food. That makes perfect sense. What does Tevilas Kelim accomplish? Meaning, is it just like some ritual? I mean, so what is it? It's a ritual that does what? So it seems pretty clear that it's not part of Hechsher Kelim, because Gemara says you need Tevila even on brand new Kelim that were never used before. So it's not about kashering anything out. It's not like the Hagala gets all the time to the surface and then the Tevila just washes away whatever came to the surface or anything like that. It doesn't seem to be about Hechsher Kelim. You know, if it was about Hechsher Kelim, borrowed Kelim shouldn't be an exception. We shouldn't say, oh, you don't need Tevila on borrowed Kelim. If somehow Tevila was important in the kashering process, so when you borrow it, it should need to be kashered just as much. The Rambam in Machol Surah Perek Yud Zayin Halacha Hey further emphasizes that it's also not about Tumah. Not only is it not about Hechsher Kelim, it's also not about Tumah. The Rambam writes, Eina l'inyan Tumah v'tara. Well, why would you ever have a minute? It is about Tumah v'tara? You're putting it in a mikvah, so it seems like a Tumah v'tara type of inyan. The Rambam says, no, it's not about Tumah v'tara. However, simple reading of the Pasuk seems that it kind of is about Tumah, right? The Pasuk says, Kal davar asher yavo be'esh tavir be'esh, and the word from which we derive Tevilas Kelim, v'taher. Sounds like Tara. Ach b'mein nida yischata. Rashi over there says, Lefi pshuto chitui zel litar mitumas meis. Chitui zel litar mitumas meis. When it says ach mein dita yischata. So the problem is, it can't really mean normal tumas ak. I mean, what kind of tumah does it have? What kind of tumah does this kli? Meaning, if it's actually tameh, the tefillah kedem is not going to help. It depends what kind of tumah it has. You'd have to go through whatever normal process that it would normally have to go through. But meichi tesi that it's tameh. What it's tameh? How did it become tameh? Why are we assuming tumah? You know, unless you're going to say no, it's like just like Chazal goes there that the Nama Aret has tumah zav. Or a guy, you know, so it's like the tumah of a guy. So a guy is treated like he has tumas ziva, let's say, so it's like tumas akum. Problem is, that's only on a derabbanan level. A guy is not tameh on a daraisa level. In fact, a guy can't become tameh on a daraisa level. Only a Jew can become tameh on a daraisa level, and nachri cannot. So, and yet tevilas kelim might be daraisa. So to say it's like an offshoot of tumas nachri is also very hard to say. An indication that it might have something to do with tumah is that the Gemara has a hava amina that you need to do azaz efer paraduma on new kelim the same way you would do on being if you're being metar mitumas meis. Meaning, so if there's such a hava amina, it sounds like it's about tumah. So what is it exactly? It doesn't seem to be about machalos asuros, meaning about blios and din machalos asuros. Doesn't seem to be about tumah and tahara. So tells the Navel Dezara over there in Dafayin Hay and the Rosh and Simon Lamidvav, Gzeres HaKasav. Well, okay, we can't explain it, it's Gzeres HaKasav. However, there is another possibility. The Yerushalmi in Avod Dezara became a famous Yerushalmi, it's in Chashav Amar Makom, that Tzarech Lahatbil Lefi Sheyatu Mitumas Hagoy V'nichnasu LeKedushas Yisrael. Not so much emphasizing that Yatsu Mitumas Hagoy, but Tumah used as more of a generic term over here, that it went from Tumah to Kedushas Yisrael. That when it goes into Kedushas Yisrael, new kelim bought from a non-Jew, no blios of non-kosher food required tefillah because it's leaving the non. It used to be a non-Jewish kli, now it's a Jewish kli. Similar to a form of geirus, like the kli is going through its own geirus. It used to be identified with the non-Jewish world, now it's identified with the Jewish world.
How does the Rambam stem with this Yerushalmi?
Why?
Because the Yerushalmi is really saying some of the time. I mean,
not necessarily, no. I'm
changing
saying
the words kodesh and not kodesh.
So I'm saying that's different, right? Meaning Tumah V'Tahara are very clearly defined categories of Arishon and Asheni and, you know, all those halachos and how to be matar things in Dine Tumah V'Tahara. This doesn't seem to follow those rules. It seems to be more of a ritual immersion, similar to when a ger goes to the mikveh. Right? It's not that he was tamei, now he's becoming tar when he goes to the mikveh. It's just part of the process of entering Kedushas Yisrael. The Yerushalmi seems more like that. You could read it both ways, but it seems more like that, that it's going. It's not a Tumah V'Tahara issue. It's dafka going through this metamorphosis kind of issue, like a ger going to the mikveh. The Yerzarua writes in explaining this Yerushalmi, Midama oso leger shenichnas l'kedusha al yidei tevila. Right? Yidafka says that it's got to be, it's just like a ger. Tevila's kelim is like gerus. Whenever something enters kedusha Yisrael, it does so by first entering the mikveh. The Rishonim use that to understand many of the dinim of tevila's kelim as well. We'll get to them soon. That Yerushalmi will explain the havamim the Gemara has that tefillas kelim should apply to your tables and chairs and television, and meaning mehechi tesi, like why in the world would it apply to those things? So if it's about something that used to be identified as non-Jewish and now it's becoming identified as Jewish, so maybe it shouldn't be just limited to klei suda. So that's why the Gemara has a havamina that it should apply to everything. Elamai, it's in a pasuk, it's about gilui klei midyan, so it must be only related to those things that are included in klei midyan. But why would there even be a havamina that it relates to klei suda? Elamai, the Yerushalmi would make a lot of sense because it's entering Kedush Yisrael. The Ritva in Avodah Zarah is explained by an Avninezer in Yerodeyasim Kuv Zainos Beis. Quotes this Ritva. The Ritva in Avodah Zarah believes that the Tumah comes from the fact that it was destined to be used for non-kosher. Meaning, how many options did we have so far? What Tefillas Kelim is all about? We said Machalos Asuros, but we like rejected that. No, it can't be about Blios and Machalos Asuros. It can't be about the fact that it's Machalos Asuros, because if that were the case, then why would you need Tevila on brand new Kelim that didn't have any connection with Machalos Asuros? It can't be Tumah and Tahara right? That was the Rambam. The Rambam rejected that it can't be about tum and tara. So we had gzeiros hakasuv, geirus. So the Ritva says, you know, the idea is that it is about machalos asurus, but not about its history with machalos asurus, but its destiny with machalos asurus. That the history with machalos asurus, that's what Heksher Kelim is for. But any kli that is destined to be used with machalos asurus, that is ultimately going to be used for non-kosher, the Ritva writes, pirush mishum desofan lehishtamish ba'asur, that even though it's brand new, so it doesn't have any actual blios, but since it was initially going to be used for non-kosher purposes, so now you're re-identifying it as a kli that's meant to be used for kosher purposes. And that's why the Ritva says you got a kasher before toveling, because when it's still a trefa blios, it's ketovel v'sharetz biyadah. That it's you're now changing its destiny, but you can't change its destiny while its current situation is that it still has machalos asurus inside of it. So that would seem to indicate that fundamentally it's a way to be mechazik the inyan of machalos asurus, meaning that the idea is that machalos asurus is not only about what it was and what it is, but what it will be as well. You know, I don't know, somewhat similar, although not perfectly similar, to like Prisha Samach Levesta. That it's mechazik the Indian of Nida. She's not a Nida. What do you mean? Prisha says, why do I have to be Parish? She's not a Nida. Yeah, but it's like a harchaka to the din of Nida, even though it might be a harchaka midaraisa. So tefillah is kelim also. The Ritva would have to explain that tefillah is not required when kelim are purchased from people who are not shomer Torah mitzvos, right? Meaning, let's say I buy a kli from a person who doesn't keep kosher. So wouldn't you say in that case also it was destined to be used with non-kosher food? So why don't I require tefillah then, if it's really all about the fact that it's got a future with machalos asuros? So the Ritva would probably say, it's not destined to be used with machalos asuros. How could you say that about a yid? No, it means that it may have actually been used for machalos asuros had it stayed that way, but you can't call it that was its destiny. Their kelim may sadly be used for non-kosher, but you can't say that they're destined to be used for machalos asuros. I don't know. The Rambam, where does Rambam put Hilchos Tefillos Kelim? In Hilchos Machalos Asuros. So is that an indication of what the fundamental nature of the din is? That it's a din in Machalos Asuros? So there's always the Yetzer Hara to do that, to say, oh, look where the Rambam put it. So it must be that that's the Geder Adin. So I saw in Rav Eliav Silverman's Sefer, he writes, Shamati Meharav Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik Shlita. If you want to be medayik from where the Rambam places something, tamid sarich livchon ha'im yesh makom tov yoter shebo haRambam hayachal lahavi osalacha. He said, don't be medayik from where the Rambam places something unless you have a better option of where he should have placed it. Meaning, he thinks you can be medayik, but only if there's somewhere else that it belongs more. So what do you want to do? You want to put it in Hilchos Geirus and Hilchos Yisuri Biyah? That's just weird. You're going to put Hilchos Tevilas Kelim and Hilchos Yisuri Biyah? That seems just totally odd. There's no better place to put it than Hilchos Machalos Asura. So you can't be medayik the nature of the din. I think what he's trying to say is what I've heard from Rav Asher Weiss on a number of occasions. Rav Asher Weiss has told us not to be medayik the Yesod Hadin from the placement of the Rambam, because a lot of times the Rambam will put something there when it just naturally fits in the way it's mofia in the world, meaning the way that you encounter the din. So if I encounter the din of Tevilas Kelim when I want to have a Suda, even though the Yesod Hadin, maybe a din in Tum Tara, or maybe a din, well, the Rambam holds definitely not Tum Tara, but maybe a din in Geirus, or maybe a din in whatever, but I encounter the din when I'm interested in eating a Suda, so then it's going to be in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. So to be medayik that it's in Machalos Asuros, and therefore that must be the Geder Adin. I heard from Rav Asher Weiss that he thought, not Benogel Tefillas Kelim, but Benogel to other things, that's not within our rights in terms of being medayik from a placement of the Rambam. So, yeah.
For the Ritva, to explain why some of the natural return rituals, there would be no Tefillah. Can't just be in a Kabbalah of the ritual? The Pazik is still only like
Yeah. Meaning, the truth is, it's a gzeiros hakasuv. I mean, pashtus is a gzeiros hakasuv, and they're giving time of dekra, right? So there may be several nafkaminas, and we're going to have to keep that in mind as we go through all of the halachas, right? What might the nafkamina be? We'll just do like quickly what the nafkaminas might be. What? Oh, okay, good. So do you do Hagala first? Why? Because if it's about Machalas Asuros, so it can't be while it's still below Abiyasr. Meaning the idea is that the Hagala gets the flavor to the surface or gets it out, and then the Tevila finishes the job. So then the Tevila's got to finish the job. You know, you can't have you can't put it in the mikvah and still have a problem of Blios. If it's Tum and Tara, so does Hagala have to come first? Right, probably not. What does Hagala have to do with Tum and Tara? If it's for Geirus, Yesh Ladun, okay, might be enough Kamina. Electrical appliances is a big, we'll discuss in great detail, Bezrat Hashem. There's a famous tshuva of the Chalkas Yaakov, which a lot of other poskim said also, but it became a famous tshuva of the Chalkas Yaakov. Rabbi Shmuel Marcus told me his grandfather, Zichron Levrach, Varon Soloveitchik, held this way as well, that any appliance that only works when you plug it into the wall is mechubel lekarka, and if it's mechubel lekarka, it's einu mekabel tumah, and if it's einu mekabel tumah, it doesn't require tevila. Meaning, it's not mechubel lekarka, it's only mechubel lekarka when you plug it in. You say, yeah, but it doesn't work when it's not plugged in. So the only way it works when you plug it in, so then then it would not require tevila. So, wait, that would explain to me why it's not mekabel tumah. Hechitesi, one's got to do with the other. Oh, so if you hold that it's din in Tum and Taras, so that makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of halachas in Tefillas Kelim that we seem to be very concerned about the Kabbalah's Tumah status of it. But it's got nothing to do with Kabbalah's Tumah, so why are we so concerned about the Kabbalah's Tumah status of the Kli? Elamai, it's got something to do with, meaning that whether it's the Gedr of the Din is about Tum and Tara, there's something there. There's something about Kabbalah's Tumah, and that's why the Rambam asked out of his way to tell me, no, it's not about Tumah, because it seems like it's about Tumah. Well, also, another nafkamina might be disposable kelim. Minchas Yitzchak writes in Chilek Hei, in the Tshuva, and it comes up, obviously, a lot of other contemporary poskim, that they're not mekabel tumah, so they don't need tevila. Now, again, that idea only makes sense if it's a din in tumah. The Gemara that we read before said you need memsa'a. You need tevila b'memsa'a. Tosus writes, Afal gab de revius sagi lahatil machtin vitsinarios midaraisa. Right, if you have these very tiny kelim on the daraisa level, when they're tame, you could tovel them in less than memsa'a, in a revius of mayim. Hainu tvilas tumah, says Tosfos. Aval tvilas klaimidian chidishu ubay memsa'a. But tvilas klaimidian is the idea of tvilas kelim. That's chidish that you need memsa'a. So the Rambam writes, "V'yesh lomar tefilasu gzeres hakasavi v'kachu gzeres hamelech latzrich arba sa gzeres hakasav kachu that it's 40 sa." But then the Ramban, rather not the Rambam, the Ramban ala Torah says that it's gzeres hakasav needs 40 sa. But then the Ramban ala Torah quotes a shita that you don't need 40 sa midoraisa, and then the pasuk's only nasmachta that you don't really need 40 sa midoraisa. So if it's about Tum and Tara, so whatever works by Tum and Tara should work for Kalim. And therefore, the 40 sa'a should not be a din daraisa. 40 sa'a might be a din midrabanu, like the Ramban's Yesh Omrim. But if it's a gerus, so a ger has to be tovel in a mikvah of mem sa'a. And the kli also maybe has to be tovel. If it's machalos asuros, I don't know, whatever the gerus hakasav is, you know, so then it's debatable whether it has to be a din daraisa or not. So that's another potential nafkamina. Again, we'll discuss many of these things in greater detail. Another nafkamina might be the following. There is a halacha, the Gemara tells us in Chulin, that if a woman is taking a tour of a woman is going to the beach and she decides she goes for a swim, you know, or she's by the beach and someone's horsing around and pushes her in the water, into the ocean, and then she comes out of the ocean, she like swims out of the ocean. So the Gemara says that she's tahora even though she had no intention of being matara herself. That even without kavana whatsoever, she's tahora, even though she had no intention whatsoever to be matara herself. The same truth to tefilas kelim. If there's no kavana to tovel the kli, so a lot of poskim say, yeah, tevila works without any kavana. It's just the metzius of going through a tevila. Bach, the Bach writes over here in Kuf Chaf that no, you need to tovel it again. So, would a tevila without kavana work for gerus? For a ger? For an actual convert? No way, right? A tevila without kavana, the gerus has to be the shame, right? The shame kedush Yisrael, it has to be to L'shem Gerus. And if it's not L'shem Gerus, and the person just happens to have landed in a mikvah, no way, it doesn't work for Gerus. So if the Tefillah's Kelim is meeting Gerus, maybe you could argue that that a Tefillah needs Kavanah, like the Bach says. But if you hold it's midin tuma v'tahara, so the nidah works midin tuma v'tahara without any kavana. Right, that's that famous tshuva of Ramesha, where the fellow asked Ramesha, said that he's dating a girl and she seems so wonderful and she has such great midos. Problem is that her parents are not religious, and they certainly were not observant of Taras HaMishpacha at the time that she was conceived. And the Gemara says that a ben anidah is going to have certain character flaws. Ben or Bas Hanida has certain character flaws. So should I be concerned about these character flaws because she's a Bas Hanida? So Meisha says she's obviously not a Bas Hanida. She doesn't have character flaws. Meaning, if you see that she's good, then it must be that her mother went to the beach and probably was wearing a loose enough bathing suit that it wasn't a chatzitza midoraisa. And just like if you fall into the water, the tevila works. So if she goes swimming in the water, it also works. So even without any kavana, the shem tara. It takes Rav Moshe to say that. You know, like, but they lived in Antarctica. she doesn't know how to swim. You know, like Rav Moshe says, I'm a stama. She ended up in the beach somewhere. The stipler was asked the same thing. The stipler said differently. The stipler said that that it's an indicator that like the deck is stacked against you, meaning. Can a person be 5'7" and play in the NBA? Yeah, you just have to be really, 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 really good, like to make it that far, despite the fact that the deck is stacked against you. So what does that tell you? If someone is 5'7" and playing in the NBA, that tells you that they're really, 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 really talented. Like that's a whole different madriga than being 6'7" and playing in the NBA. So says the stipler, he didn't give that mashal, believe it or not, but says the stipler. If she made it, and she has such beautiful midos, even though the deck was stacked against her, she must be extraordinary. And Adraba, you don't have to be worried that that's going to go on to you, that the bad midos are going to go to your children. Her exceptional midos are going to go to your children, because she must be extraordinary. That's the stipend. Okay, he writes in a letter in Karina de Gursa. We'll have a discussion about what material kelim have to be made out of to be chayiv in tevila, apart from tevila. So one of the key points of discussion, which is a fascinating sugya, is what if you have a kli that's made primarily where it touches the food, the kli is made out of something that does not require tevila, like plastic, but there's a maimid that holds the whole kli together that is metal. So is that enough to require tevila? Do you look at the maimid or do you look at what actually comes in contact with the kli? So the concept of a maimid seems like what kind of concept? It's a tuma tara type of concept, the concept of a maimed. A maimed b'davar makabel tuma. Right, when we learned nida last year, and we were discussing by ksamim that a kesem is only problematic if it's found on a davar makabel tuma. Right, so I mentioned, I think, that Rabbi Sablovsky once had a shaila where a woman found a kesem on her sheet, but she did good. The sheet was colored, so you didn't have to worry about it. So she took the sheet off, and then that thing that covers the mattress, that white thing that covers the mattress, the kesem had gone through the sheet, and now there's a little stain on the white thing that covers the mattress. So they called that a shayla. It was just over the size of a penny, and it was red. On the white thing, and it was white, right? I mean, on the white thing. It was on the white thing that covers the mattress. So they asked Rabbi Sablovsky if she's tamei. So he said, it depends if that thing is mekabel tumah or not. So they looked at the tag, and it said 100% polyester or something like that. Right, something that's not mekabel tumah, synthetic material. But it's held together with thread, it's held together with thread. And if the thread is cotton, then it's a maimed b'davra mekabel tumah. And if it's a maimed b'davra mekabel tumah, then the whole thing is mekabel tumah. Maybe you're going to have a problem. So he had to, Rabbi Sablovsky said, he called up like the company that makes it, and he said he has a cotton allergy or something. I don't even know if such a thing exists. And he must have, you know, they're probably like, oh, another rabbi is on the phone. to find out whether it's mekabel tumah or not. So, but the concept of maimed is a concept in tumah and tara. So what does that have to do with tefillas kelim? Elamai, if tefillas kelim is a concept in tumah and tara, so it's also going to be nogea. If it's not a concept in tumah and tara, it's not going to be nogea. Although, I don't know, is maimed only tumah and tara? Hilchas Tarovis, it's a concept. right? It could be that something's not batel if it's maimed the whole thing. So I don't know if it's necessarily contemptumentary. I mean, you know, these are the easy nafkaminas if you want to say that it really cuts neatly. It doesn't really cut neatly. I mean, there's not going to be like a shita that follows through, you know, la halacha, but just something to keep in mind. Now, darais or drabban, tefillas kelim darais or drabban. So Tosus writes, tefillas klei midyan chidushu ubayim mem sadr. Rabbi Tam and the Rav understand the simple meaning of the Gemara is that the obligation of tefillas kelim is darais. It's a chidush hakra, it's a kseris hakasim, that you need tefillas kelim. In fact, Rashi highlights that we're learning from the word vitaher that there's a chiyuv tefillah, even though on the spot he doesn't say explicitly that it's daraisa, but he does use the term gzeres hakasav later on. Right? He says zuza in the Dibur Maskel Zuza when the Gemara asks, "What about a scissors? Do you have to do tefillah kelim?" So he writes that it's gzeres hakasav, strongly indicating it's daraisa. What about the Rambam? Before we get to the Rambam, Ramban al Torah. In the parsha of Klei Midyan, v'libi maharher old lomer shehatvila hazu midivrayem va'amikra smachta asu aso b'chei unklus metargim aso b'chitoi hazah shalefer para. And it's not really about tefillas kelim. Pasuk isn't really about tefillas kelim. Pasuk is only a smachta. The whole thing is really only a din midirabban. Right? That's how the Ramban writes. Comes along the Ramban. So what do we have so far? You have Rashi and Tosla seem to say Doraisa. The Ramban, Libi Mahara, that it's the Rabbanan and the whole thing's Nasmachta. Says the Rambam, Macholos Asuras Bergizai Velachei, Tvila Zusha Matbilin Klea Suda, Shinulkach Mina Akum, Vaacharkach Yutrila Achilu Shtia. Ainon Linitum of Tara, Elamidivir Sofrim. Vikiva Shakasov Vitaher, Omru Chachamim, Hosif lotara acher avirasa be'esh latira migur le'akum. Simple reading of the Rambam, midivrei sofrim, right? Eina ela midivrei sofrim, chacham hosif lo tahara. So it sounds like it's only midirabanan, pasuk is nasmachta, midivrei sofrim. However, not every time he uses the term midivrei sofrim does the Rambam necessarily mean dirabanan, right? Because most famously, Kiddushei Kasef, right? He uses the term midivrei sofrim, and clearly Kiddushei Kasef is daraisa. Amru chachamim, is that an indication that it's clear that it's rabbanan? Amru chacham? What did you tell him? Seems like it. Thing is, there are places where the Rambam says amru chachamim binogel l'dinu daraisa, or that Chazal say amru chachamim. Or something like it. The Mishnah in Sukkah. Amru Chachamim, Meinodim Yossi De Chavaso, B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, B'lulav Shel Chavera. It's not Amru Chachamim, that's a Dindaraisa. That you need Lachem on the Yom Tov Rishon. But Metzia Lamed Gimel. Amru Shomer Chinam Nishba V'yotze. Chiyu Shuan Shomer Chinam. Amru? It's a Dindaraisa. What's Amru? The Rambam in the first paragraph of the first halach in Hilchos Tefillah, mitzvah saseh lispal b'chol yom shenemar v'avadim Hashem elokeichem mipi Shmuel lamdu shavodu zu hi tefillah Hashem elavdu b'chol vavchem amru chachamim v'ezu yavodu shabaleim zu tefillah ve'in minyan ha-tefillahs min ha-Torah. So amru chacham is interpreting the pasuk, but it's just interpreting the pasuk, but the pasuk is the pasuk, meaning it's still the daraisa. The Rashba in the Tshuva in Chel Gimel Simin Reishon and Hay actually understands that the Rambam holds that it's Daraisa. He writes, "Midivrei Rambam Zal Yirashu Savor Shumi Daraisa." Chel Gimel Simin Reishon and Hay. What? How does he get that? Meaning, I understand if you want to say it's not compelling that the Rambam holds that it's Rabbanan, because none of those phrases are, you know, are absolute. Where in the world does the Rashba get that mistama that the Rambam means daraisa? So the Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam in Yud Zayin Hey explains that the Rashba was medayik from the words mipi Hashmuel lamdu. Mipi Hashmuel lamdu means that it's part of the Torah Shebal Peh. Kesef Mishnah and Pri Chadash say that the Rambam holds it's Rabbanan for their own part, but they say that they quote the Rashba. Kesef Mishnah quotes that Rashba. Kesef Mishnah quotes that Shuvas Rashba. That the Rambam says that it's Daraisa. The Lechem Mishnah says Rambam holds Halach L'Moshe Misinei. Halach L'Moshe Misinei is also Daraisa. It's just a different kind of Daraisa. There is a compromise approach. The Yeshuas Yaakov in Yoredeya over here learns that the Rambam holds that the Iker Mitzvah Tevila is Daraisa. but the iser to use before tevila is only midrabanan. So you have to do a tevila on a daraisa level, but the fact that you're not allowed to use it, what about just once, Rabbi? Isn't there a thing I'm just allowed to use it once? So that's the one thing in Hilchos Tevilas Kelim that everybody thinks they know, that you're allowed to use it just once. You're not allowed to use it just once. So, but you know, the fact that you're not allowed to use it even just once is only a din d'rabbanan, says Yeshua Yaakov. In Chalkos Bin Yamin on page Reish Samachay, he says it might mean that you have to tovel as soon as you get the kli, meaning that the d'rabbanan is that that you have to do it right away. That on a daraisa level, you have to tovel whenever, but midrabanan you have to tovel right away when you get the kli. He suggests, I don't know, pashas is not that way, right? I have kelim that is sitting around usually for my wife. From the time my wife asks me to tovel the kli till I actually go to the mikveh and tovel the kli, usually like there are a few things, there are a few requests that, you know, that take maybe DMV applications. I don't know. There are a few things that take longer between request and fulfillment of request than toveling kelim. Pashtus is that there's not a problem of leaving the kli untoveled. What's enough kamina? And how do we paskin? So the Taz and Sifkat and Tazayin infers from the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yudalit. Let's take a look. So the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yudalit. Obviously skipping ahead a little bit. Ein ma'aminim katam al tevilas kelim. We don't trust a child for tevilas kelim. So says the Taz, lefi shetevilas kelim daraisa, because katam's not ne'eman on the daraisa. Bim tavul fnei gadol also tevila, but if it was done in front of a gadol, so a gadol could verify that the tevila was done and it works. So the Taz is pretty clear that he assumes that it's a din daraisa, and he explains the Shulchan Aruch in that way, that it must be a daraisa. The Rama over there writes, Avlum tavul fnei gadol have a tevila. Right? If you tavul in front of a gadol, then it is a tevila, because then you're not relying on the child's ne'amanus. What about the kavana? So either the child can be taught to have kavana, or you don't need to have kavana since it's anyway not latara, or anyway, even if it was latara, maybe you wouldn't need kavana. Whatever, right? That's the other discussion about kavana. So it could be that that's an afkamina. An afkamina is whether a katan could do it. That if it were drabanan, so katan is neman on a din drabanan. But if it's daraisa, you're not gonna believe a katan on a din daraisa. So far, how many fundamental questions we had? You know, we're just going through the fundamentals today, right? Fundamental question number one is, what is it, right? Is it tumantari? Is it chshur kelim? Is it gerus? Is it just stam gzeres hakasim? And we're never supposed to know what it is. Fundamental question number two, is it daraisa or darabanan? Fundamental question number three, is it a matir or a mitzvah? How do you view tefillah's kelim? Is tefillah a mitzvah or is it a matir? Meaning, do we view the act of tefillah as an actual mitzvah, or is it just not? If you want to use it, so that would be like we were talking about before. Nafkamina might be whether you have to do it right away, because if it's a mitzvah, so zrizim akdim le mitzvahs, do the mitzvah as soon as you can. Whereas if it's a matir, so if I don't need the thing to be mutter, I have plenty of candy dishes. Why do I have to tovel this candy dish? Sometimes I think that pile that's sitting in my office, my wife will forget about it. She's not even going to realize it because we have enough other stuff. We have so much stuff. Baruch Hashem, right? So it's usually right after Shalach Manos season or something, you know, like we don't know what's toveled, what's not. So from the Rambam, it sounds like tefillah is a matir. Rambam himself says, V'achar kach yutru la'achila. He actually uses the term. So you're just not allowed to use the kli until the kli is dipped in the mikvah. Again, not even once. However, Taisus Rid writes, She'ena ela mitzvah midrabanan. Clearly that there's a mitzvah to tovel your kelim, calls it a mitzvah to mitrabanan, and therefore lo shata'akev hatvila shelo yishtam shuvo ad she'ed bilu. If you haven't toveled the kli and you're in a location where you can't tovel it, you can use it without tvila because anas rachman apatri from mitzvah. And if it were a matir, right, that would be enough gemina. If it were a matir, so then it's asur until you're matir it, right? But if it's a mitzvah, so then you have klalim of mitzvah. So when you're chayiv in mitzvah, when you're not chayiv in mitzvah. And if you're in a situation where you can't do the mitzvah, so you can't do the mitzvah. So that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to use the kli. The Rama and Sif Ches. If you look in the Rama and Sif Ches, what does Rama write? That the Shulchan Aruch there in Sif Ches, Hashol Sorcha Kli Mevukav Meinu Tan Tevila. If you borrow a kli like we saw in the Gemara, you don't need tevila. If I buy it from a guy and I lend it to somebody else, Toton Tfila, Shekver Nischayev Biyad Arishon, because when I bought it, it was Chayev in Tfila. V'yesh Mishomer Shem Lo Lacha Arishon L'tzoruch Suuda, Elo Lachtoch Klafim V'chayotzi Bo, Ein Tzoruch Latfilo. That I didn't buy it to use Klei Suuda, I bought a pocket knife from a guy, and I want to use it for my Boy Scout trips where whatever Boy Scouts do. I guess they use it for food, but I'm gonna use it for what does he say? To cut klapim. I'm a sofer. I'm gonna use it to cut cloth. So then I lent it to somebody else, and I don't have to tovel it. Avol rishon osu l'shem shul tzor chesuda filu derech harai below tefila. But if I decide to use my pocket knife that I want to cut cloth with, and I decide to cut an orange with it, I'm not allowed to. Avol bisha lachol tzor klapim. And if the second guy bought it from me for Tzarchi Suda, then it needs Tvila. So the Rama writes, you're not even allowed even once. You're not allowed to use a kli even b'derech harai. So the Avnei Nezer seems to argue on the Rama, and he says that if there's no possibility to tovel the kli, you could rely on the Tosas Rid and use the kli without Tvila, even many times. But if there's a possibility to tovel kli, then there's no like one-time freebie that people think there is. It could be that when the Rama asked to use a non-toveled kli even once, he was talking about a place where there is a mikvah available, and maybe the Avnei Nezer is therefore not going against the Rama. But anyway, the Avnei Nezer clearly assumes it's a mitzvah. It just has a certain matir element to it, because he compares it to tzitzis with a beged shel dal kanfos. This is a mitzvah. So just like you could wear a beged shel dal kanfos without tzitzis on Shabbos, because if there's no mitzvah, mele, there's no iser, right? Meaning, the tzitzis are matir wearing a beged dal kanfos, but that's only when you have a mitzvah of tzitzis. But if you have no mitzvah of tzitzis, then there's no iser wearing a beged dal kanfos without tzitzis. So if it's Shabbos where you're unable to tie the tzitzis and you have a beggar dal kanfos, then you're allowed to wear the beggar dal kanfos without tzitzis. So too, you can use kalim without tzvila when it's impossible to do the tzvila. So says the Avnei Nezer. Rav Asher Weiss paskin based on this idea of the Avnei Nezer, and we'll get back to this, but that electronic appliances that will break from tzvila don't require tzvila. Because that's the equivalent of not even having a mikveh available. Right? Let's say there is a mikveh available. The only thing is, there are alligators in the mikveh. So every time you stick your hand in, the alligator takes the kli in your hand, and and that's the end of it. So obviously, that's also an esrach manapatre. So if you have a mikveh that's just not usable for this kli, so mele, it's an esrach manapatre, and there's no chiv tvila. If it were a matir, then you can't say that whole svar. It's one of the more common shaylas you get in tefillas kelim. A couple gets engaged, they sign up, Bed Bath & Beyond, what do they call it? They register for all these things, and people start buying them stuff, and they have all these gadgets and appliances and everything, things they never knew they needed. All of a sudden they're going to be sous vide experts, and they're going to have bread baking machines, and they're going to have... So all these things, sous vide is an interesting shayla in its own right. But so with all these appliances, Rav Asher Weiss says, Mekel, if you look in the Tshuvas and the Debre Tzina Rav and many other poskim, they say, what do you mean? You could just tovel the kli and just let it sit for a couple of days and it will dry out the inside and nothing's going to happen. It's not going to be dangerous. Try that with your Keurig and see what happens. You're going to put that in a mikveh. It's a computer. Like if I were to stick this laptop in the mikveh, it's not going to come out okay, even if I let it dry for a couple of days. So it could be that more, in 1975, when the Debre Tzina Rav was writing that tshuva, most of the appliances were that way. But in 2021, that is not the way most of the appliances are. Your refrigerator is a computer, your oven's a computer, everything's a computer nowadays. So it's helpful to know Rav Asher Weiss, and Rav Shechter also passes this way.
Would Rav Asher be Mikil at the beginning of COVID, when the Tfilas Kelim Shabbos, people didn't want to be told Kelim because of COVID concerns? So, not that I heard everything, but most of the Eitzes I heard was either it's safe or have a Shutras with a Goy. Like, was Rav Asher Mikil Halacha L'maisa that? Well, it's impossible because it's unsafe, so you don't have to
tell me. It's a good question. I wonder if in Tshuva's Corona, if he has a Tshuva on it or not. I didn't get the safer yet. That's a good question. Pashtus, yes. I mean, it's anus. But as soon as it's not an anus, you got to double it. So you can't keep using it. So to put it into... We had that shayla this year Pesach. A lot of people had kelim from last year Pesach that they never toveled. And then, so this year Pesach, can we just keep using it? No! Now you gotta tovel it. Right. That's the other Eitzah. But the question is, do you even need that? Right. Okay. Because why rely on that if you don't have to? The electric appliance, you have another option. But over here, you have another cooler that's available to you. To what?
During Pesach last year, during Corona.
To sell to a guy, you'd be mafkir.
In terms of, in general, with
electric appliances.
Stuff, but he said, last Pesach, you should definitely be selling it.
Makes sense. So just like a shechti. Yeah. Okay, so we'll get to it when we get there. We're just discussing Begadol. The first day of any sugi, we just discussed Begadol. We're not getting to the. Remind me of the Piskei Corona that I still do sometimes. I put out a instructions for how to shower on Yontif in a halachically permissible way. And I had Rav Shachter read it years ago, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I said, should I publicize it?" He said, "Are people going to shower anyway, whether you publicize it or not?" I said, "Yeah, they'll just do it wrong. If I publicize it, they'll do it right. And not everybody, but a lot of people will." So there was a rabbi that called me up one time, an assistant rabbi somewhere, and he called me up and he started telling me, "How could you do this? How could you publicize such a thing?" I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's the halach." He's like, "But you could pass in that for your balabatim, and now you're taking away the rights of any other Rav to pass in the Shaila because Rabbi Leibowitz tweeted that that there's this instructions that tell you to do it. So it's so wrong. And now no other Rav can tell his Kila what to do. So every Rav can tell the Kila what to do. Maybe they should listen to Twitter on in terms of halacha." So then I was driving a couple of weeks ago with Shai Shechter, and he told me that a rabbi called him up, and he said, the rabbi started yelling at him, "How could you publicize all of your father's Piskei Corona? Now no other Rav is able to paskin anything, because they're going to say Rav Shechter paskin this way, and they can't have their own opinion anymore." I said, "Ooh, let me guess. So it was the same Rav, yes. I don't know, he has a bug in his head. I don't know. I think Kachi Darka Shaltaru. You publicize halacha, and if people have pushbacks, they can push back. So good. That's the way Torah is supposed to work. Another potential nafkamina in this machlok is matir mitzvah, is whether tefillas kelim requires a bracha. Right? The Rambam learns that tefillas kelim is a matir, and he doesn't mention that you need to make a bracha. And the Rashba says it's because the Rambam holds tefillas kelim doesn't require a bracha, because it's only a matir, it doesn't require a bracha. The Rambam says it's a beferish and it's a matir, and he also doesn't mention anything about a bracha on tefillas kelim. The Tur and many other Rishonim pass that a bracha is required, even if tefillas kelim is midrabanan, because you do say a bracha on a mitzvah drabanan, right? Even everyone agrees, for example, tefillah on glass is only drabanan, so a lot of people make the mistake. I've been at a keli mikvah several times where people have said, "Oh, this is only glass, so I don't say a bracha," right? No, you do say a bracha. We say a bracha on Mikra Megillah and Ner Chanukah. We say a bracha on Mitzvah Mitzvah. Of course, you're going to say a bracha. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel, Yevarich al Tefillas Kli, Vimim Shnayim al Yosim Yevarich al Tefillas Kelim. You say a bracha al Tefillas Keli or Kli, and if it's more than one Kli, so then you say al Tefillas Kelim. That's the nusach of the bracha. Another nafkamina might be whether you can say kolaroi labila bila makevesbo on the base of starim. What does that mean? It could be that the whole right meaning. How does tefillah work in general? So a woman goes to the mikveh. She goes to the mikveh and she immerses her whole body. So everything in the water has to touch every single part of the body. If she's wearing a cast, it doesn't work. If she's wearing clothing, it doesn't work. She has to immerse her entire body. She can't have any chatzitza in her mouth. Why can't she have a chatzitza in her mouth? She's not going to open up her mouth in the mikveh. She can't have a chatzitza in her mouth because a beis hastarim of the person, the inner parts of the person that are sometimes exposed, sometimes not exposed, don't need actual bias mayim, but it needs to be royal bias mayim. And that's part of the principle of kol haroi lebila and bila makeves, but they have by a korban mincha that even though you don't need to do the blila, you don't need to mix the oil and the flour really well, but it needs to be enough of a ratio of oil and flour that all the flour could get wet. So we apply the same thing when it comes to tevila of a human being. The Rashbam in Masechet Basra understood that what's the pshat in Karla Roy Labila Bila Makavispo, but if it's saying a Roy Labila, then it's not a mitzvah, then it is ma'akev. If it's not even Roy Labila, then it's going to be, then the Bila is going to be ma'akev, and it's going to be a problem. So the Rashbam understands that that's a mitzvah shalom b'shle Musa. What Rav Shach used to tell us was that if you don't do the blila, so then you did the mitzvah shalom b'shle Musa, but you did the mitzvah. But if you're not even able to do the blila, then it's so shalom b'shle Musa, the mitzvah dies of malnutrition. That there's nothing to them, there's nothing left to the mitzvah. It's just like a skinny loses all of its mamashas and the mitzvah's gone when it's not even right l'bila. So if you understand that the whole idea of kolorei l'bila and bila ma'akevus is totally on it being a mitzvah, and if it were a matir, then you wouldn't say kolorei l'bila and bila ma'akevus bo. So then on a base of starim in a kli, maybe you'd be able to say kolorei l'bila, meaning that if you say that tefillah skelim is a mitzvah, so you say kolorei l'bila bila ma'akevus bo, kolorei in roi l'bila, Kolorei lebila ain bila ma'akevus bo, kolshein roi lebila bila ma'akevus bo. But if you hold that it's a matir, so then it's got nothing to do. The whole klal of kolorei lebila is not nogea. There's no such thing as a lechachil and a b'diavad by a matir. By a matir, it's either mutter or it's not mutter. So you have to make a decision. Is it mutter or is it not mutter? But the whole idea that there's going to be a madregas, there's going to be a mitzvah b'shlemusa, a mitzvah shalom b'shlemusa, and a mitzvah that's so shalom b'shlemusa that it's not a mitzvah at all anymore. So that's only it's only in the parsha of mitzvahs. And it's very nogea for tefillas kelim. We'll see what Shulchan Aruch paskins. But if let's say you have a base of starim of the kli that the water can't get to, right? So is that considered a valid tevila? A lot of these complicated kelim do have a base of starim. You put your curing machine in the mikveh. There are parts where the water will not get. It's a fascinating shaila about the curing. If you hold not like Rav Shach, not like Rav Asher, and you hold that these things require tevila, so what are your eitzas, right? You could sell it to a guy, you could break it and then have a Jew put it back together again, but you have to break it, but good. You have to break it to the point where it's not able to function and that you need a professional to be able to put it back together again. So that's the posek in Karen B. Avner of Rubinstein. When I was there, I don't know if it's still the case, had trained himself in how to take apart a sandwich maker into 1,000 different pieces and then reconstitute. Did he used to do this for you guys? You don't remember this? He had on his dining room table, he had these screwdrivers. He took apart everyone's sandwich maker. It was in 1,000 different pieces. It was like, there's no way this is ever going to work again. And he put it back together. So he made the kli. He made the sandwich maker for everybody. And we were able to use the sandwich makers. That's a madrega. So, but you have like the shiloh with the Keurig. Let's say the whole thing is plastic. So is the whole thing plastic? Is there any metal anywhere in that machine that you have? Is there any metal anywhere that's important to the machine? So there is, because there's got to be a coil somewhere, right? The water's getting hot. You just don't see that. It's somewhere in the base of starim of the kli. So if the only part of the machine that would require tevila is in the base of starim, so how do you view it then? Do you say that is going to require tevila because it's made of, you know, that's a critical ingredient of it, it's a critical part of it? Or do you say that it doesn't require tevila because it's only a base of starim, and base of starim itself doesn't require tevila? So okay, those are potential nafkaminas on that issue. Yeah, so we'll discuss what happens if the metal is a maimed, though, right?
But Tosha says even if it is a maimed, it's irrelevant if it's not on the inside of the kli.
If it's not on the part of the kli that touches the food. Yeah. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the details. Right, that's the shayla the OU had about, although I guess it depends how it's made. They have these plastic salt shaker things, they're not, what do you call them, the grinders, right? Not salt, for like pepper, they come with big peppercorns in the thing, and then you turn it and it grinds the pepper right there, because some people like fresh fresh ground pepper, as if they claim they can taste the difference. So if it's fresh ground pepper in their foods, that's a fancier thing. So they sell like these plastic things and you just throw it away afterwards. So the whole thing is plastic, but it's held together by a bar that's metal. Otherwise the whole thing would fall apart. Even the grinding implement is plastic. Even the blade that actually grinds it is plastic. This is very sharp plastic, but but there's a metal bar inside of it that holds the whole thing together. So that's a big discussion. The OU, a lot of tshuvas back and forth with Shechter and Rebelsky about whether they're allowed to use that. All right, so Bez Hashem, we'll get to that as well. I just feel like now is a good stopping point because that was the introductory stuff. So maybe we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll get into which materials require tefillah. So that will be okay.